Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so, I am sending you." For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That most famous verse that we know from John 3:16 tells us of God sending and giving his only Son to save sinners. And yet, after verse 16, we know John 3:17 says that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his Son into the world so the world may be saved through him. See, it is God who sends the Son. We know that Christ has come. God has sent his Son into this world to save the world. Christ has come. Christ has lived. Christ has lived a perfect life. Christ has died a vicarious sin atoning death on a cross. Christ has died. Christ was buried. Christ has risen again, knowing that his work and his person is fully sufficient to pay for the sins of his people. And also, we as his people have the blessed assurance that Christ is coming again for his people. He came the first time. He was sent the first time to save his people. And he is coming again, not to save, but to judge and condemn the world in righteousness and truth. But now we as a church live between two worlds. We live between two advents. We live between two comings. We live between the first advent, his incarnation, his life, his death. And now we also live in light of his coming again. We as a church live between these two worlds. So then the question is, how are we to live? What are we to do? What is the purpose and mission of God's people? What is the purpose and mission for the church? What are we to do as we live between these two comings? And what we see in John verse 21 of chapter 20 is just as the Father has sent the Son into the world, the Son is sending now us, his disciples, into the world. And we will see two ways in which we are sent into the world. That we are to be servants of Christ's ministry, and we also are to be stewards of Christ's message. But now the context of the verse we just read, we see that this is post-death, post-resurrection. Jesus has already died upon the cross. He has risen again. And now his disciples on the evening of the first day of the week, so it is a Sunday evening, you see in verse 19, they lock the doors. The disciples are in this room and they lock the doors. Why do they lock the doors? Because they are afraid of the Jews. And so they stand there, cowering in fear, afraid. And now, because they have this locked door, they're scared, they're barricading, they're isolating themselves from the world. Now, Jesus miraculously, supernaturally appears to them, and he says, as they are cowering, as they've locked the door, as they're hiding together in fear, he stands among them and he shows them his hands, his nail-pierced hands, and he shows them his side. And then he says to them, "Peace be with you." And then the very first thing he says to them after saying, "Look, I'm here, I'm risen, all authority has been given to me, peace be with you, there is no need to fear." And the very first thing he says to his disciples in this room post-resurrection is, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." unlock the door and go out into the world in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the power of the gospel. He says, as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. Jesus comes and makes this staggering statement as he appears to his disciples, which is commonly referred to as the Great Commission in the Gospel of John. Every gospel narrative, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, has within its framework and within its narrative a great commission. The most famous one is Matthew 28, found in verses 16 through 20, where Jesus comes to his disciples and says, "All authority has been given to me." He says, "Now in heaven and earth, all authority given to me. Go therefore and do what?" He tells his disciples to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And he says, "Behold, I am with you always. My spirit, my power, my message of salvation is with you. Now go as a disciple to go make more disciples." He says in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16, Jesus says to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all of creation." He now tells in the Great Commission in Mark, not only are we to, in Matthew, go and make disciples, he says, now go proclaim the good news in all of creation. Go say that good news. Go proclaim the gospel. Go witness. Go testify to what Christ the Savior has done. And then even in Luke chapter 24, it says that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name throughout all the nations, starting in Jerusalem. You are to be my witnesses. And so if you combine every single great commission and you start to synthesize every great commission, you see that Christ's marching orders, the commandment from the master who loved us and bought us, is I am sending you into the world to go, therefore, under my authority, to make disciples of all nations, proclaiming the gospel. And that gospel is repentance of sins and the forgiveness of sins, and that you can know God. You are to be witnesses of these things. That is what he tells his disciples to do. And now here in John, he commissions them. And he says, Jesus says, "As I've been commissioned, you are now commissioned." We are to be his mouthpieces, his messengers, his representatives. We are to proclaim the gospel. Christ's commission is given to the church. And as Christ gives his life for the church and brings his people into a living communion, a vital communion with him, he takes those same people who are in communion and union with him, and he says, "You will go out into the world and be my representatives. I am commissioning you. I am sending you. I am giving you a purpose and a mission." We are a people with a purpose to proclaim the goodness and glory of God to all the nations. And that is the great commission we see here in this verse. And then as we start to pick apart and parse this verse, you see in verse 21, he says, as the Father has sent me, so even so I am sending you. And we don't need to gloss over that word as. I know in our language, sometimes it's really easy to just look over a simple adverb like as. But as is teaching us that to the same extent and to the same degree, we are being sent out like Jesus. In the common nomenclature, you could even use a word like the Father has sent me, I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, I now send you. The extent and degree of Christ's mission is the same extent and degree to which he gives his church. And then he goes on to say, as the Father has sent me. There's two words here for send. You see it in the very first phrase, as the Father has sent me. And then in the second phrase, even so I am sending you. Those are two different Greek words. Even though they're translated the same, they're different. It's important for us to figure out why they're different and why Jesus uses two different words here for sending. The first one that you see, as the Father sent the Son, that word is actually the same Greek word that we translate apostle, meaning that Jesus, what he's getting at is, I have the same authority, power, prominence, prerogative as the Father. I come with his authority. And then you look at all the other verses in the Great Commission passages. All authority has been given to me. He's saying the same thing. As the Father has given me authority, put me into this world, I have that same authority as the one who sent me. So in this statement, as he's saying, I have this same authority, he's once again saying, I am divine. I have the same authority as the Father. He makes himself equal with God. He unites himself with the Father. He says, I have the same authority and position as the Father. And in that authority, as he sent me as this authority, I now in that authority and under the umbrella of that authority am sending you. So then we get to the second word for sin. The second send is speaking of being dispatched. It's speaking of, it's a much simpler word. It quite literally means to send off with a purpose. So Christ, under the authority of the Father, the same authority as the Father who was sent by the Father, is now taking that authority and dispatching his disciples into the world with a purpose. To do the bidding of another. To illustrate this point, basically the difference here is, as Christ commissions us under his authority and dispatches us under his authority, it is like you owe a debt and the debt collector sends you a notice in the mail. Who has the authority to collect the debt? The debt collector has the authority. The mailman who delivers the message does not have the authority to collect the debt. He only has the right to deliver the message. And that is us. We're the mailman. We don't have the authority of the Son. We don't have the authority of the Father. But under the authority of the Son, we deliver the mail. We deliver the message of the one who sent us. So as the Father sends the Son, he is now even so sending us. All authority has been given to Christ, and he sends us out into the world to be his instrument and to carry out his purposes. He gives his disciples an assignment, a mission. He assigns to us a vocation, a purpose. Our task is analogous to the Son. It's a continuation of his ministry and the purposes of his incarnation. What did Christ came to the world to save his people? Christ came to seek and save the lost. Christ came to save sinners. That is why he came, and now he dispatches his church in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the power of the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation, to go out into the world and see more lost sinners come to saving faith in Christ and Christ alone through the proclamation and witnessing of the gospel. But now some of you may be thinking, well, isn't he just talking to the disciples in his immediate presence in that room? Maybe he's just sending these people. And not us. But not to get too technical, but for a moment, this is applying generally to everyone. If you look at the tense that it's written in, it's written in a present tense and an accusative case. All that means is that there's an action he's calling us to, and it's a continuous action until everything is accomplished. He uses the same exact grammar, the same exact verbiage, and the same exact casing in John 17 during the high priestly prayer, where we know for a fact that he's praying for every disciple, not only there and then, but every disciple that were to come and were to believe in him. He says in John 17, 18, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And so what we start to see is this is also written as he says, I'm sending you into the world in the possessive plural. So it's not just a particular you, I'm sending you, it's a y'all. I'm sending y'all into the world. And the y'all I'm sending is a continuous action until it's accomplished. And we know that the work of Christ and what he is doing in this world is not complete until he comes back. And so he is talking to every disciple. He is dispatching every disciple into this mission, into this purpose. There are no exceptions to this. If you are a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, Jesus has sent you out into the world to be his witness and to be his disciple and to represent him to a lost and dying world. The very grammar shows us that the commission is still in play for us. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. What this is revealing to us is the permanent value, the permanent meaning of our mission. It unveils to us the truth relating to the responsibility and mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. That every single local church and every individual that makes up that local church has a responsibility to be Christ's disciple in the world. That every local church and every member that makes up that local church is sent into the world by Christ. The correlation here between Christ's mission and ours is the same. The sent one, Christ, becomes the sender. And he's commissioned all of his followers to serve as messengers and representatives of his mission and his will. We are continuing the mission of Christ as his church, so all the elect of God would come to know him. That as Christ came in his incarnation and he lived and he died, he was buried and rose again. So we go out and proclaim this good news, the salvation for sinners, the forgiveness of sins, all for whom Christ died for will hear and believe, because he has sent and dispatched his people out to proclaim his good news. If this is the meaning of this verse, the mission of the church is a continuation of the mission of Christ. The duty of every Christian is practically equivalent to the mission of Jesus Christ. What a reality that is for us. As disciples, what an honor that is that Christ has given us. Jesus links the mission of his disciples with his mission he received from the Father. The mission of Christ is the mission of the church. As the Father has sent his Son, even so, I'm sending you. So now I want to draw two applications from this verse. Since Christ is sent by the Father, even so I'm sending you. Since we are sent in the same way in which Christ has been sent, in such that we are continuing his mission, that means all our life, all our ministry, all our work, all our vocation is going to take shape of the one who sent us. And so the first reality of being sent by King Jesus is being sent by Jesus means we are servants of Christ's ministry. If we are sent by the Father, what is a reason that Christ came into the world? We haven't touched on it yet, but we're about to. What is a reason he came into the world? Mark 10:45 says that Jesus himself says, "I, the Son of Man, did not come into the world to be served, but to serve, to give my life, the totality of who I am, as a ransom for many." He says it in Matthew 20, verse 28. The same exact words. "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give my life as a ransom for many." Isaiah 53, the prophecy of Isaiah. What does Isaiah say Jesus is? A suffering what? A suffering servant. See, Jesus is coming into the world to save sinners. And a way in which he does that is by serving the sinners he's coming to save. See, Jesus' whole life is one of service. Every thought, every word, every deed was service. His whole life was service. And how did Jesus serve? He didn't come to be served. He came to serve by giving his life as a ransom for many. That means he gave his life sacrificially. He gave his life selflessly. And if we are to be sent as he is sent, and we are to imitate him, that means our life should be one of service. Our life should be one that is sacrificial and selfless. In fact, all our life is a sacrificial offering and worship that is to be pleasing to God. To serve like Jesus and to be sent by Jesus as he was sent means that our life in totality is meant to be sacrificial and selfless, not counting others more significant than ourselves. As Christ humbled himself by taking on human flesh. See, being saved and serving are inseparable, but it's why people have such a hard time with this. It's real easy to be served. It's much harder to serve. It's much harder to be inconvenienced. It's much harder to sacrifice. It's much harder to be selfless. But Christ our King has commissioned us. And we are to be as he is, as he was sent, not to be served, but to serve. And unfortunately, the reason that people have a hard time with this is because to them, Jesus is just a great addition to their already okay life. Like for many, Jesus is just a little religious, spiritual cherry on top of their already pretty good life. But let's not get too fanatical. Let's not get too involved. Let me not throw myself headlong into sacrificing and selfishly giving my time, my talent, my treasure for the gospel advance and the glory of God. I will not do that because I will not allow Jesus to encroach on my life. But see, here's the thing. When you are saved and you've been bought and purchased by the Master, it's not that Jesus is an addition to your life. Jesus is your life. He is your life, so nothing can encroach on me when it has to do with Jesus, because he is my only hope. He is my life. He is my salvation. It's in him and him alone that I know God and will enjoy God forever. Jesus is not just some cute addition for me. Instead, we are to be consumed with the glory of the Savior who saved me, who came from heaven's throne to save me. He came from heaven. Can I not be inconvenienced once in a while? To give up selfishly and sacrificially my time, my talent, my treasure? We are not saved. We are not saved to sit. We're saved to serve. I think about Paul. Last week we looked at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, where Paul writes, Christ came into the world to save sinners. And then he talks about how grace overflowed for him, that he was a blasphemer, persecutor, insolent opponent. And God displayed his perfect patience toward Paul, that he would save the foremost of sinners. But do you know what Paul says before he gets into all of that and God's grace overflowing to him? He says, I thank my God for appointing me to his service. It's like Paul couldn't even get over the fact that not only was he saved by grace, but grace made him a minister of the gospel. He says, I can't believe I get to serve my Savior. Because salvation and service are inseparable. Paul's life was ministry, and Paul's ministry was his life. So we're not saved to sit. You're not saved to sit here on these 20 and a half inch gray chairs with 3 inch of padding to just get a 30 minute sermon from an average preacher and go home. That's not why Christ saved you. Just drop in and get a sermon. Get what you want and consume and be served. go to groups and maybe develop a little bit of relationship, some friendship. Just take and take and take. That's not what Christ saved you for. There should be a heart of gratitude like Paul that says, I can't even get over he would save a wretch like me. And now he's put me into service for him. That I get to represent him. I get to proclaim his goodness. I get to testify to his grace. I get to witness to his power. It's like when we think about service, it's not even a sacrifice. Like, how could we not serve the Savior who left heaven for me? Who died for my sin? Who rescued me from hell? Who transferred me out of deadness into life? For Christ came not to be served, but to serve. And as the Father sent him, he sends us. But being sent by Christ not only means you are a servant in Christ's ministry, but being sent by Christ also means we are stewards of Christ's message. Look at verse 23 of this passage. Verse 22, and when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. The point of this is not that individual Christians have the authority to forgive or not forgive sins. I don't get to look at you and say, your sins are absolved or whatever. I don't get to do that. But what I do get to do, and what you get to do, is there's a gospel message that says that if you would believe in the Savior, if you would believe in the one who came from heaven, and you believe in him and trust in his person and his work, and you see that he died for your sin, he was raised again from the grave, and that you have the forgiveness of sins through his shed blood, what happens is there's a promise from God in the gospel and in the power of the gospel that for all that would believe in that message and believe in that Christ and believe in that Savior, they have their sins forgiven. And if they do not believe, they do not have their sins forgiven. So it is right for me to say that if you believe on Christ, believe in your heart and confess him with your mouth that Christ is Lord, you will be saved. I can say that. You can say that. If you believe in the Son, you have the forgiveness of sins. But then I can also say that if you do not believe in the Son, forgiveness is withheld. Not on my authority, but authority on the one who sent us. So I don't have, and you don't have the authority to forgive sin. That happens at the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we tell people to look to him by faith. We have a message as the ones that are sent. We have a message of the forgiveness of sins. That Christ has died for sinners and took on the wrath of God for ruined sinners. Our mission is a mission of proclamation. Our mission is a mission of revelation, revealing what Christ has done in his work and person at the cross and through his resurrection. And any who would believe can have their sins forgiven. Look, we're just the mailman. I deliver, you deliver the good news. We reveal what Christ has done, why he came into the world. We are to be witnesses. We are to give a testimony of what we have heard and seen. This is the missional heart of God that we declare and proclaim that God so loved the world that he sent his Son. That those that are in rebellion and misery of sin, that he gave his only begotten Son, that all who would believe would not perish but have everlasting life. To say that he sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That we proclaim the glories of Christ and his cross, his perfect, righteous life on the behalf of sinners, his sin, vicarious sin, atoning death on the cross, his satisfactory resurrection, to know that his work appeased the anger of God towards sin. That the gospel, we reveal and proclaim the gospel, the good news of Christ, and we reveal the plan and purposes of God. Our mission as a church is to hold out Christ and to tell all the people to look to Him. And if they do, their sins are forgiven. And that is what I'm doing in this moment. As I'm holding out to you this Christ who came from heaven. And He came from heaven so that the world would not be condemned, but the world could be saved. And so the call for you this morning is to look to Christ with eyes of faith. To look to Him. And if you really trust in Him, His work, His person, His cross, you will have the forgiveness of sins. Would you turn from your sins and place your trust and trust yourself to Christ? Would you believe upon Christ that He came into the world and paid your sins' debt and rose again? Would you believe in Him? And to those of us that have the forgiveness of sins, we throw ourselves into the mission of Christ. Now hear me talking. And hear me say, don't hear me say that when I say go and when I say send, I'm not talking like a missionary in the traditional sense. We go across a culture and you do a work. I'm not even talking about being a preacher or a pastor or being set apart into some office or for a specific task. And some of you will do that. And praise God if you become a missionary or an elder or a pastor or have some mission work. But this is not what I'm talking about here. And this is actually not what the passage is talking about here. What I am saying is that every one of Christ's disciples, without exception, are sent by Christ. There is a general call, a general sense to every disciple to be Christ's witness and to be His representative right where He has sovereignly placed us, to proclaim the good news. Our part of the very mission of Christ is to live out with intentionality the gospel, to win the lost that are around us. We are, everybody, generally called to go into that world and bear witness to Jesus Christ. You are a witness wherever God has sovereignly placed you. You are a witness wherever your feet are. In fact, that's what He says in Acts 1. After the Holy Spirit is about to come, He says, what will you be? You will be My witnesses. Not you might be My witnesses. Not if you feel like being My witnesses. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we, by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the power of the gospel, we are still active and working and continuing the mission of Jesus Christ as He calls His disciples to be His witnesses. That is the general responsibility of every Christian, and that's the general responsibility of every local church. The general call upon every disciple's life is to obediently witness to their immediate surroundings for Christ. Every church, the general call for every church is to be obediently serving and witnessing to the immediate surroundings for Christ. That is what we are to be about. And do not be too quick to overlook human instruments. Yes, we believe God has ordained the end, but we also believe God has ordained the means to the end. He's ordained the church. He's ordained the proclamation of the gospel, that these people, that Jesus is continuing to work. See, we are continuing Jesus' mission. Jesus is not done with the church. He's not done saving people. He's not done working in us and through us. And so as we go out as these human instruments that He is sending, we know that God has ordained us as the means for His people that He died for to hear the gospel. This is the ongoing reality in the life of a church, is that we are continuing what Christ has begun. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. How will they call upon Him who they have not believed? And how will they believe in Him if they have never heard? And how will they hear if there's not someone preaching? And then how will they hear if they are not sent? But we are sent. And we're sent into a lost and dying world. The purpose which brought Christ into the world to save sinners now permeates the life, service, work, and ministry of His church. Every single day, we as a church and we as disciples have a continuation of purpose of the incarnation. And what was the purpose of the incarnation? Christ came to seek and to save the lost. And we continue out that purpose by going in the power of the Holy Spirit and the proclamation of the gospel to see the lost saved through Christ and Him alone. I don't want Grace Hill to turn into some country club where we go about our week, live our nice, isolated lives, come and get a sermon, talk to some friends, check the box, and then never be moved for the lost. We're an outpost of the kingdom. Let me put it another way. We are not a cruise ship. We're a battleship. Church isn't where you just come and like a cruise ship and just go down the buffet line and take what you want and get fat. That's not what the church is. A battleship armed with the gospel. That is what our primary concern is here. The mission of Christ is the mission of the church, and we should be about His mission to push back the darkness and the battle in which we are fighting in this world. And that can only happen through the gospel. That can only happen through His disciples going out into the world and being the salt and the light, armed with the gospel and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because you think about when Christ goes into Jerusalem and He looks out and He looks at the harvest and He looks in Jerusalem, He has compassion. He says, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And what does He say? He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus tells us there's no shortage of people who need Him. The harvest is plentiful. And what is the harvest? The harvest is our neighbors. The harvest is our friends, our family. The harvest is our coworkers. The harvest is our children in school. The harvest is our grocery stores. You know, when we first started the church, which is just a little over 5 years ago now, we dropped a pin in Northwood High School and drew a radius around it to get some stats just to see what was going on in this area. And one of the stats is there's only one church for every 5,600 households. That was 5 years ago. And all the stats was telling us how there's going to be significant population growth in the next 5 to 10 years, which you're already seeing. You're seeing that growth come. So now the stats about lostness are only going to be worse and darker. But back then, the stat was 86.5% of people would not even identify themselves as a Christian in Pittsburgh. And then we know that's 13.5%. We know that 13.5% out of those 13.5% aren't real, genuine Christians. Some of them are just checking boxes as a cultural way to identify. So we can be charitable and at least say 90% of people in a radius in Pittsburgh do not know Christ and do not have the gospel. Are we not moved with compassion like the one who has sent us? To know that people are dying without Christ, dying without knowing God, and dying and going to hell. And too often we pray for an opportunity to share the gospel. I look out and see nothing but opportunity. We don't have to ask permission to share the gospel. It's what we're already commissioned and dispatched to do. And if we forget the mission of Christ is the mission of the church, we are forgetting one of our primary purposes as a church. We don't have to go across the globe. We just need to go across the street. And even when we think about in something like the life of our church, and praise God, God is growing our church numerically. I'm not an anti-growth. I'm pro-growth, right? We want to grow. That's fine. But with growth comes some things and logistics that we have to handle. One of it is expanding a facility. So you think about this in light of our facility. The whole point of expanding is not more bottoms in seats. That's not the point. The whole point of expanding would be for more gospel witness, more training, more equipping, More teaching, more counseling, more discipling, more mobilizing, so more people can be equipped with the gospel to go out into a world and witness for Christ and see more people come to know Christ through the preaching of the gospel. And they come in, we train, we send out, we mobilize. That is what we're even doing here. This is not a lecture for you to gain more knowledge. It's for you to be equipped as a disciple to go out into this world and share the gospel, to proclaim the goodness of God. The goal, even like as we think about it in light of facility, if the goal is more butts in a chair, we've completely missed the point. We've completely missed the primary purpose. The point is not more bottoms in a seat. The point is more feet in the street with the gospel. This is why we're going door to door. This is why we're planting churches. This is why we want to revitalize churches. Because the harvest is plentiful. And if we are sent as Christ is sent, and I am going to imitate Christ, I'm going to have compassion on the lostness and darkness that is around me. And we as a church who's been commissioned by our King better do something about it. We should be praying every week as we step out into our mission field. Pittsburgh is our mission field. Chatham County, North Carolina, the ends of the earth. There are no spectators in the kingdom of God. There are servants and there are stewards. That's even why we call our membership class Join the Mission. Everything speaks. And we call it Join the Mission because we don't want you to just sit here and be satisfied. You know when you come into this church, you're joining the mission. And what is the mission? It's not Lee's mission. It's not Grace Hill's mission. It's Christ's mission. And that's what we're joining. Because see, you cannot, you should not be a lone wolf. That's not the mission. We're an army of Christ soldiers who've been commissioned by Him. So join the mission, join the army, and let's go out as this people with purpose sent and dispatched to be witnesses for Christ. So you go to Christmas Eve lunch, you're a witness. You go to Christmas Day tomorrow, you're a witness. You go back to work on Tuesday, you're a witness. You go to a party, New Year's party, you're a witness. You're in a mom's group, you're a witness. And let me talk to our young families and our young dads and young moms just for a second. You know, I just said you don't have to go across the globe. You can just go across the street. Another thing is we got so many young families and some of our biggest mission fields are in our homes with our children. You don't have to go across the globe or across the street. You just need to go across the hallway and disciple and witness every day to your children. But our church, collectively, and us as individuals cannot lose sight of our purpose. Let us not forget we are in a battle with darkness and with evil. And if we turn inward, we lose. We must turn outward as this army of Christ soldiers, armed with the gospel and empowered by His Spirit. Christ had compassion on the lost, and so should we. There remains an urgent need around the world of billions, billions of people that are without Christ, and if they were to die this moment, they would spend eternity in hell. And some of those billions are in Pittsburgh. Invite them to church. That is one easy way to know they will hear the gospel. Share the gospel with them. Serve them. Be a steward of the message and a servant of Christ. And may we have compassion on the lost. That is our mission, to proclaim the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name to all who would believe. That mission is possible because the risen Savior has equipped His people by His Spirit and by His power to be sent into the world. So as Charles Spurgeon said, if sinners be damned, let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. If they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go unwarned or unprayed for. We as a church have something infinitely important for us to do. There is something that Christ our King has commissioned us to do. The Master thundering his commission from heaven each and every day to our hearts and to our ears, that you are sent as the Father has sent him. So we go, and we go proclaiming the gospel to see people look to Christ by faith. We offer them a Savior who came into this world to save sinners. But we cannot forget our primary purposes as a church and as a disciple. We are servants of Christ and stewards of his message. Christ came into the world to save sinners, and as the Father has sent the Son, even so, he is sending us. Oh, that we might be servants and stewards of the one who has sent us. Because Christ came, we go. Thank you for listening to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.